This interview was conducted by Richard Gutierrez on December the 9th, 1973. The interview was with my great aunt, Carolina Barrera de Luna, who is 80 years old.
My father was born in Mexico, my mother in Corpus Christi, Texas. I was born November the 5th, 1893 in Corpus Christi, Texas. At the time, my parents lived at 300 North Chaparral Street on the second floor of the Caldwell Furniture Company store, where my father was employed.
Was your father born here, Tia? Huh? Was your father born here in Corpus Christi?
No, he was born in Mexico.
In Mexico.
After my sister was born, my father built our home on Black Street, now 315 North Staples Street. Mother lived there until she died in 1954. That part of town was where my mother's grandparents settled when they came to Corpus Christi. Their names were Miguel and Maria Antonia Garza de Lerma. They came from Mexico about 1849. We started school at home in Spanish, reading and arithmetic. In the evenings after supper, we learned multiplication tables from 1 to 12, singing 10 times 12, 120, 12 times 12, 144.
Who taught you, Tia?
My father. The first school we attended was a neighborhood school. One teacher and six pupils. My teacher's name, Elisea Treviño. Learned lessons in English, translated in Spanish. Miss Treviño, after her marriage to Mr. Antonio Abarco, lived on Waco Street. The first school regularly attended after my brother became of age, because his schools seemed far from home. In parts, no sidewalks, and others too much brush. And until we could go together to school was the incarnate word school. Next, in the same block of St. Patrick's Church, my sister and I in the girls' school, my brother in the boys' school, our teacher, Sister Joseph, Sister Michael, Sister Teresa, Sister Mary Incarnation, Sister Augustine, who taught piano and voice.
¿Había muchos mexicanos en las escuelas?
Yeah, no, quite a few, about four or five nomás, Mexicans.
La mayoría eran americanos.
And most of them eran americanos, and allí estaban estos muchachos que lately I saw them in the graveyard. Y she says, I know you. Y dije, no, you remember me? Say, yeah, she says, don't you remember Katie Dawn, Mary Dawn? Yes, I did. She remembered me from the word school. It was a long time ago. They lived in. ¿Sabes dónde está ahora? ¿Cómo se llama la academia de los padrecitos? Están allá.
Corpus Christi Academy.
Corpus Christi Academy. They lived up there and they used to bring their lunch with them every day to school. We took ours to the school. And my brother's teacher was Father Claude Jallier. When I started on the seventh grade, we knew by then, English, a little English, and were admitted in Crossley High School. Our teacher there, Miss Ella Barnes, Carrie Fitzsimmons, Pearl Blucher, and Miss Mary Carroll, and others whose name I don't remember. Professor Minger, at the end of my junior high school year, friends of my parents asked them if they would let me teach their children a little English before they started school. Father spoke to Professor Menger and he gave me a letter of introduction and recommendation. And started to work teaching what I knew. After my marriage, I quit because my husband did not want me to work. He said, I am man enough to support my wife.
This was in Portland where you taught?
Hmm?
When Portland?
Gregory, Texas.
¿Qué año fue ese?
1914 or 1915, something like that. During my time at home, while I was growing, never heard complaints about food prices. In our home, we worked together while growing. There were plenty of eggs, chickens, we had two cows, plenty of milk, butter, and a good vegetable garden. We all worked together. On Saturdays, I used to ask Mother, why should we work like that? Same work, same time. She would say, because I can't take care of you at the same time. And I know where you are and you learn to do the work. At that time, no gas, no electricity. No electricity. We all worked together. Chickens, cut the onions around the kitchen. We cut the onions, peel the potatoes, clean here and clean there, and work after lunch. Get your sewing buttons, mending stockings, and things like that. Father did not like for us to work outside our home. He said we saved more money by staying at home and learning how to take care of what he earned.
In other words, you had most everything you had yourself. You grew it. En el jardín tenían jardín y todo, vacas y todo.
We took care of everything.
¿Qué tan grande estaba Corpus en ese tiempo?
Pues, I couldn't tell you, porque no nos dejaban andar mucho.
La María era como ranchos.
Pues sí, porque tenías que andar distancias para ir a ver a los vecinos. Cuando venían buenas cosechas de que tenías muchas gallinas, muchos pollos, los cambiabas y se los llevabas a los otros vecinos para que te dieran vegetales, flores, o algo.
¿No se acuerda al cuál eran los vecinos de ustedes en ese tiempo?
Pues los vecinos de nosotros en ese tiempo eran los Castros y don Pedro Cortés y su familia, que tenían una panadería y los muchachos tocaban piano y en las tardes, después de la escuela, íbamos a visitarlas y así. Our home remedies that I know of, there were many. We were 8 children in our family, 5 girls and 3 boys. If someone was sick, good dose of castor oil, plenty of lemonade, and a good rubbing of whiskey with camphor. If your eyes seemed dim, eat plenty of calf's liver and carrots. If you felt a little lazy and out of sorts, eat tomatoes with plenty of sugar for a few days, especially before breakfast.
You still use these remedies, yeah? ¿Todavía usa estas remedias
usted? I still use those remedies and many others that come along. And I would fill a book with all those remedies que me dan. During summer, to prevent fever, wear a little pocket made of cloth around your neck with a good piece of camphor. 2 drops of perfume for a toothache and go to a dentist as soon as possible.
Era para las muelas.
Para las muelas, para los dolores. And one time, I went to visit an old lady, and there was a boy crying because he had a toothache. And you know what she did? She took a big needle and burned it in the fire. And then open your mouth and open your mouth, and with that red needle, just pinch inside the crack there. He cried for a little while, but afterwards he never thought about that pain again. I didn't know that she could do that. I was so afraid. I thought she would burn him, but she didn't. And she was the doctor in the neighborhood. Everybody, you go to Mrs. Lerman, see if she can take care of you. Gave you a good rubbing. If you had an earache, well, you go there and she just put a little oil or something. You know what she did? She took a piece of garlic and just warm it in fire. Put a little cotton around it and put it in your ear for a while. You didn't felt so much the pain. Those were the doctors we had around our house, around our neighbor. Of course, there were doctors, you know, but you had to walk and see if they were there. Sometimes they went out of the city on the buggy or the car, and you couldn't find them.
¿De qué clase de trabajo hacía su papá?
My father, first he worked at the... there at the Caldwell Furniture Company, and then with Moise Weil, the Weil store, they had a dry goods store, and he was employed as a clerk there. And then after that, he just started to sell insurance. And after that, he just started on business by himself. He was in business when he died. His business were just across George Evans' school, where George Evans' school is now. Grocery store.
Es donde vive grandma y grandpa ahorita.
Now possible, got it. At that time, in my youth, about 1901 or 1902, I heard about Don Pedrito Jaramillo. He lived in Los Olmos near Falfurrias and was a good friend of my mother's uncle and his wife. From Corpus to Falfurrias, there was Mr. Hipólito Tapia and his wife, Rita Tapia, who made trips often. This couple would go around neighbors to take letters to Don Pedrito. If they were sick as mail then those times was very slow. This couple would come back with the prescriptions answers in the letter for each neighbor and friend, and the prescription from Don Pedrito. He didn't charge anything. I keep writings from newspapers that write about Don Pedrito. This was in a paper about 1919 and 4. Number one, it said, more than 50 years ago, a standard part of the internationally famous South Texan skewers was a diet of fresh grapes and fresh or canned tomatoes, vitamin rich. My mother knew Don Pedrito Jaramillo. She said he received hundreds of letters from United States and Mexico.
¿No se acuerda de uno de los remedios?
Pues sí, parte de ellos pues daba baños sometimes in the middle of the day about 12. And sometimes you wash yourself three times with plenty of soap, three times at such and such hour. And then sometimes in the evening, wash yourself this and that. And in the morning, you drink a glass of water. And that glass of water, just in the name of my God, I'm going to drink this water. And people go, well, I don't know, maybe it was faith. I don't know, but he did lots of good work. And now in another paper I keep about Don Pedrito, says, in number two, a man singularly favored by God. He will live always in the hearts of all who knew him and were aided by him without other interest than his desire to serve humanity. This is by Ruth Dodson, South Texas author. She wrote that piece.
¿Usted nunca lo vio a Don Pedrito? No, nunca fue para
nosotros. Pero mamá dice que sometimes he didn't know how to read in Spanish or English. He didn't know how to read. And sometimes when she went there, he just said, "Will you please read this letter for me?" And she opened the letter, and there was money in it, $1, $2. "Put that aside. I don't want to see the money. I want to see the letter." That's the way he... You write a letter and ask him, tell him to do this and that and the other. Una vez me estaba platicando una señora, me platicó un señor que una vez de aquí de Corpus habían ido unos señores americanos que habían oído de don Pedrito y que uno de ellos se burló mucho de don Pedrito haciéndole la burla porque había mucha gente alrededor. Every day there was full people, the little house. Y que un americano, cuando llegó a su turno, que le dijo, "¿Usted qué quería, señor?" Y este dijo, "I am very sick. Me duele mucho el estómago. Yo quiero que usted me dé un remedio para aliviarme." And it wasn't so, it wasn't true. He just was trying to see how far don Pedrito could go. He says, he called somebody else, y que le dijo, "Please give this man a cup of water from that barrel, please." Y agarró el señor vaso y le dijo, "Aquí está el agua, él dice que tome un vaso de agua para que se le quite el estómago." And the man who told me that, just as soon as he drank the water, he had to go to the toilet 3, 4, 5, 6 times until he came back. "Now, Don Pedrito, I'm very sick. I knew you were not sick when you came here. All right, go and drink another glass of water and you get well." And he did get well. That's what they told me. That's what they told me. And he is a good man. He says, "I know it because I used to visit Don Pedrito. And that day," he says, "I was there." And says, "Well, I have to go back." And Don Pedrito said, "No, you better wait till morning." And he said, "Yes, but you know, I told my people and my family that I'll be there today." "Well, it wouldn't hurt you if you stay here until tomorrow." And that man says, "Well, I was tempted to stay and I was tempted to go. So I said, well, I'd rather go. I promised my family that I'll be there at midnight. So I just saddled my horse and went." "You mustn't believe me," said Mr. Cerna, "but I got lost. It started to rain a little and there was brush and I got lost and I had to come back to see Don Pedrito." Said, "I told you to stay here until the morning." And I don't know how. He just said things that were true. I don't know. That's what that man told me. This is true because it happened to me. But the best thing is that muchas cosas que nos platican. That's about all I know about Don Pedrito. Of course, about 2 years ago in Palpurrias, we went to the church there, and there were just starting a public library in the church. And there was a book about Don Pedrito. And so we asked our friends to take us to the grave. It's una casa como this, but 3 rooms. You can't get in there. All todo está cubierto de flores y velas. Y así está de gente. All the time he has visitors. Dicen que todavía hace milagros, I don't know, perhaps, porque hay mucha gente. Por acá, socially, Father and mother attended many weddings, anniversaries, and dances, all by invitation. At one time, I happened to find a small card that said number one waltz, number two shortage, number three another waltz. And when I asked my mother about these little programs,
she said,
before they were married, boys would get together and contribute to the expenses to have a good dance, hall, orchestra, invitations, and those little programs. They invited the whole family then. As soon as the young ladies arrived at the dance, they were handed those little programs. Boys also had their program. A boy or a friend would approach a young lady. Friend, will you dance piece number one or the waltz with me? If she said yes, he would write number one in his program too, and knew she was going to dance the waltz with that certain friend. And that way, everyone present had a chance to dance, even if they did not take a partner to a dance. When couples started to pay at the door to attend the dance, woo-hoo, no more dances. They have to be by invitation. Es hermosante.
Tenían programas para ver con quién quería bailar.
Para bailar, sí. So, así es, de que tú entrabas al baile, tú ibas, pues no, aquí está su programa, señorita. Tú mirabas el programa, number one, shotties. Number two, waltz. Number three, pues eran danzas que se usaban, and so the kind of dance. Bueno, entrabas tú. Luego venía un muchacho, ay, señorita, ¿vas a bailar este number one with me? Pues ya lo tengo comprometido con fulano. Bueno, number two, all right, number two. Tú apuntabas el tuyo en two, and he right. So that way, even if you didn't take a partner to the dance, you knew you can dance all night and had a good time.
Y nunca se enojaba a nadie porque agarraban el número de ellos o algo. No pasaba eso.
No pasaba eso porque eran puros muchachos y... los viejos con los viejos, los muchachos, y todos estaban juntos. Ya habías tú, los muchachitos aquí dormidos, y los viejos.
Esta era pura gente mexicana.
Pura gente mexicana. No, don't expect us to be among Americans, because they just did hate us. I think so, I don't know. Well, quién sabe, there are a few friends that doctors seem to be very... very comprehensive and muy bien educados y todo, pero
la mayoría de los americanos no querían.
La mayoría de los americanos, they thought you were some kind of another province, another planet. My sister and cousins played the piano. We invited friends from time to time, learned new songs, recite poetry by memory, played cards, dominoes. Some of our boyfriends played guitar and violin, and we all had good times at home. We used to bake good pies, cakes, and cookies. And we enjoyed ourselves very much among our family, young and old, all together.
¿Qué clase de estufas tenían en ese tiempo?
We had wood stoves. And that was part of the work we had to do. Every evening we had to pick up the best wood for the stove. So in the morning you had to bake biscuits or cornmeal bread or tortillas or whatever. Oatmeal, our best breakfast was oatmeal, biscuits with plenty of butter and a glass of buttermilk. Buttermilk or milk. Good school. Means of transportation in my time, wagons, buggies. In later years, the part of town where we lived started to be surrounded by railroads on the north, by the Missouri Pacific. In the south by Texas Mexican Railway.
La casa de ustedes corría un ferrocarril detrás de la casa de ustedes, ¿verdad?
Uno detrás y otro enfrente, ¿te acuerdas? Uno
sí.
Pasaba por un casero y otro pasaba.
Uno por Alameda y el otro por Staples.
Sí. By this time, our social standing was well established. My mother and father had organized social clubs before they were married. After that, they started a social and benefit society called the Sociedad Beneficencia de Señoras y Señoritas. In 1908, they got together and among friends, became members of the Woodmen of the World of Omaha, Nebraska. And we all enjoyed good friends. The dry goods stores I remember about is the Guggenheim and Kahn Dry Goods Store and Lichtenstein's. Yeah, that's right. In my time, I heard then, but did not understood discrimination until I was married to Andrés de Luna, who was born in Laredo, Texas. He started to work for equal rights. He said that we were born here and we were Americans, have obligations, duties as American citizens, as well as rights. And so he started to be interested in politics, first in organizing and learning everything he could about rights and duties, he said. In February 17, 1929, three civic organizations were merged. Latin American Citizens League of the Lower Rio Grande Valley, the Knights of America of San Antonio, Texas, and segregated members from Council Number 4 of the Sons of America, San Antonio, Texas. And from these organizations, the League of United Latin Americans, American Citizens was formed. My husband was always ready to find why certain Mexican children living in the same neighborhood of certain schools had to walk and be exposed to the danger of traffic to go to Mrs. Shoah's school, as the public school for Mexicans was called.
¿Esta era la Rocha?
Miss Rocha.
Toda, esa escuela toda está abierta, ¿verdad?
¿Eh?
Esa escuela toda está abierta.
No, estaba, no, ya no estaba ahora, después fue.
Está acá cerca de Ella Barnes, yo creo.
No, sí. Estaba aquí, in between, sí. Between Artesian y Tankaway, es una escuela que está ahí cerquita del banco, Citizens Street, ¿verdad? ¿Te acuerdas una escuela? Mi show school, that's the only way we knew which school.
Esa era la escuela de los mexicanos.
Pues era la escuela de los mexicanos, pues echaban el achaque, perhaps in part, that was true. The Mexicans didn't know how to speak English. And when they went to school, they, no matter how a teacher worked, they didn't understand the instructions or anything. Maybe that was. In 1924 and 1925 were years that the most part of his time, of my husband's time, was to work of citizens' rights. I was always nervous and afraid because sometimes he did not find a friend to accompany him to make certain claims, especially for school children. Aquí, it should be the names of his friends that helped him.
¿Cuáles fueron
los amigos que le ayudaban más y que fueron? Eran Mr. Ben Garza y Nicasio Vidar from Laredo, Texas, y Góngora.
El Chaparro Góngora,
que le dicen. Y amigos así, pero muchas veces los mexicanos, como estaban enredados ya con la política, no querían ponerse mal con los que estaban en la política, ¿ves? Y sometimes they didn't want to help him very much. Pero Mr. Ben Garza and Mr. Ridar and Mr. González, they were always ready to go with him. Una vez, ya te dije que le dijo, vamos, Mr. Lozano, vamos a ver a Mr. al Board of Trustees de la escuela. He dijo, well, I might go with you, but I stay outside. He was, why? Well, because you talk too much. I'm afraid somebody will give you a good punch. I'd rather stay outside.
Pero su esposo no tenía miedo y como
no,
quiera.
No, he wasn't afraid, and that was his. He wasn't. No quería ni con él. No, you talk too much. Porque sabes que nomás porque les decía, pues sí, it was true. November the 6th, 1940, my husband, Andres de Luna, became the first Latin American to serve as an election judge in history of Nueces County. Hector de Peña Lula, president, reported. De Luna presided at the fire station box of Precinct 47.
That's in 1940.
It was in 1940. April the 4th, 1941. The bill was offered by Lyle Bill to end discrimination against Mexican Americans. This bill was by Mr. Lyle Bill and others, according to the Colored Times, Austin Bureau, did not know much about. What I know is that those years, 1941 through 1954 and 1955, 56, my husband looked very tired. He started to sell properties we had, and too much expense, he said, on taxes. But he said he was very well satisfied to have worked for what was right and honorable, hoped that all Mexican children learned to speak English as soon as they were born, and started to speak English to our grandchildren before they could speak a word in Spanish. Ay, cómo se enojaron, porque no les hablaba así. He just got mad because you didn't speak English to the little children. Don't you know how we have suffered? It's all because we don't know the English language as we should. So, that's that. Estoy lo que te digo. Ya no escribí más porque me cansé.
¿Qué se acuerda usted del huracán de 1919?
En el huracán de 1919 yo estaba en esta casita. Y mi hermana vivía, ay, nomás en la calle, yo creo que es Culverson. Estaba el Rubén chiquito, estaba chiquito, recién nacido. Y comenzaron los palos estos a caerse en los alambres. Y me dijo mi esposo, let's go home, let's go to your mother's home, because let's be all together. If something happens, we are all together. Entonces, pues, cerramos la puerta y dejé todo así como estaba. This little house is no good for a storm like this. So we got home and we stayed there until the morning. And then I thought he was going to stay there with the family. And he said, no, I have to go and help. They say that all the downtown people are having trouble with their buildings and things, and the hospital that was the Spahn Hospital was then by, let's see, you know where the expressway is now, right there? Mm-hmm. And by the time he got there, he said he saw beds and cots and things that the water was taking out of the place. Many people died. And then at that time, he started to move a big board, he said, and say to children, and he sprained his back. Never got well again, but he just walked. And it looked he was all right, but it wasn't. He couldn't do any other kind of job. It was terrible. Well, next day we came home and find this little house as if we just have left it. Nothing lost, the lights on, the sewing machine that was next to the window, and the window was open, and there was the machine, just exactly as I had left it. We didn't lose anything up here, but downtown, All businesses and everything downtown was almost ruined. Many people who lived as Mr. Merkovich, John Merkovich, and persons like that that had restaurants and things up there at the downtown Corpus Christi, they had to move here up the bluff. And since then, and we still live in this little house, and this little house has gone through all the storms, and we are here.
En ese tiempo no había escalones ni nada en la agua, ¿verdad?
En donde del agua no, sí. No había nada, nada. I don't know, I don't remember. Estaba muy, muy raro, pero ya comenzaba a componerse las calles y a ver pavimento y todo eso. Aquí, en este lugar donde vivo yo, no había extensión de luz hasta 1916. El teléfono lo pusimos entonces porque mi esposo trabajaba con el Swift and Company. Y el Swift and Company, la casa de Swift and Company estaba cerquita del Missouri Pacific porque pues era casa de wholesale house. Y era he was working as a shipping clerk. Y every Thursday evening, he had to stay there until 12 because he had to make inventory reports every Thursday, and stay here by myself. And at that time, this Ben Garza Park was nothing but a corral of cows. You heard the, ¿cómo se llama el cencerro? The bell all night long. I stayed here by myself with an oil lamp all night until my husband came. All night long I stayed here praying and just, there were no televisions, no radios, no nothing. Because there was no electricity in this part of town.
¿Qué fue el efecto de la depresión en ustedes?
The depression was we almost lived. I don't remember. ¿Sería que para mí tenga o no tenga
depresión? ¿Cómo fue para la mayoría de la gente mexicana?
Bueno, para la mayoría de la gente mexicana, pues muchos cerraron sus negocios y muchos pues tuvieron que pedir. Ah, también eso tengo que decirte, que aquí tengo un escrito en ese tiempo, during the depression. Sí.
So, que Andrés de Luna was hired by the Nueces County Emergency Aid Committee to distribute federal surplus foods to persons thrown out of work by the depression. And he's beginning to work immediately. Ese fue tu esposo, que trabajó en, sí, dando la comida para la gente.
And they started to give relief food for distribution.
¿No se acuerda usted si se fueron mucha gente mexicana para México en ese tiempo?
Que te engaño, Aaron.
Pero para ustedes no fue mucho diferente.
For us no, porque we always try to, pues ya ves, la gallina, el pollo. ¿Cuándo fue la depresión? What year?
Como en los 30.
¿Eh?
En los 1930, por ahí.
¿30?
Sí, comenzó en la en de 29 y duró hasta como 38. Por ahí.
In 1929, my husband sold his business que tenía on North Staples y Comanche. It was a bakery and grocery business. I don't remember much about depression because I didn't. ¿Sabes? de que la vida de nosotros, at least mine, since I was married and since my husband, we were married, and the way I was taught, never to live above your earnings. If you have this much, you have to take care not to take this because they give it on credit or they lay away or this or that. So if something happens, there is always a little nest to cover the damage in any way, you see. And even if it's $2 a week, we save $2 a week. It's not much, but you forget about it. You forget about those $2. $2 a week will be $100 a year. And $100 a year will give you 4%, which is $4 and something like that. So you forget about it. By the time you become about 40 or 48, when children grow and need a little money and need a little help to go to school for this or for that, you don't have to worry much. You live within your income. And that's what I have done all my life, and that's how Mother told us to do. You have 50 cents, well, 50 cents, just put it, just forget about them. Y así, nene, cuando mi esposo se murió, que de repente, because he died from heart trouble, yo creo, they had to take him to the hospital. Y cuando entré, pues me dijeron que tenía que pagar right away. Le dije, I can pay right now, but I'll pay you in the morning. In the morning, I went to my saving account and got what was needed and paid for it. And that's how we have lived all the time. It's not that we don't like new things and new inventions and things like that. We know they are good, and we know the, as now we have television, radio, and things like that. But we always try to be within our. The trouble with many people is que compran más y gastan más. Of course, they wouldn't like the way we did those days because see, if you lived in a small house and without this and that, you would be Mrs. So and so, but we lived all right. Socially, you have to go with what's needed. But I didn't have girls, boys, only one boy. I didn't have trouble, you know. If I had had family that I had to take them socially and to college or to school, would have been different. But the only boy I had, just as soon as he was of age, he had to go to war. And when he came back, he was sick. And he is still sick. And he will be sick for the rest of his life. So, no, no está invalid, que podemos decir que está invalid, pero pues yo creo que con los sustos y con todo eso, se enfermó de ese diabetes. Y si no le duele una cosa, le duele otra. Y si no come, he's sick. If he eats, he's sick. And if he doesn't eat, he's sick. Y ya van dos operaciones que le dan en el hígado de piedras. Y yo creo que dice él que todo eso, cree él que fueron the emotions, de ver tanto muerto, de ver tantos muchachos conocidos y todo, y tantas cosas que pasaron. Dice que una vez tenían 2 días de estar en un subterráneo, underground, Y que a todos se les acabó el agua, llevaban más caramayolas de agua y que estaban esperando que les pusieran un puente para pasar. Ahí trae ese retrato, mira. Un puente de los ingenieros y no llegaban. Y allí estamos. Y se nos acabó de a tiro el agua. Dice, y el barril que tenía el agua estaba nomás en la mera puerta, nomás subiendo tantito en los escalones, ahí estaba el barril del agua. Pero nadie podía salir, porque nomás se oía un ruidito y oían algo y comenzaba el tiroteo y las balas. Y dice, y una vez nadie quería salir y dije, pues yo voy, y dice, pues que me traes a mí. And you take this and you take that. And by the time I made too much noise en los cuartos de arriba, made too much noise with the, esas cosas. Dice, pues nomás salí afuera y apenas le volteé la llave al barril, just as I moved the faucet. Dice que comienzan las balas y las luces y todo. Y dice, pues que aviento todo y me fue arrastrando hasta otra vez inside. ¿Cómo se llama eso?
Barracks.
¿Eh?
The barracks.
Sí, the barracks. Dice, it was terrible. Dice, otro día, cuando pasamos, cruzaron el río. Dice que otro día, miraron un eje, mira, hombre, allá está un hombre, vamos a ver qué es. Dice, pues era un alemán. Dice que estaba hecho hielo, con la carabina de hielo, y él hecho hielo, bien duro de hielo. We tried, porque él estaba con los que levantaban a los muertos. ¿Sí? Y dice, y we tried to move him, pues no pudimos porque era una plancha de hielo, estaba bien muerto, era un alemán. Dice, y nosotros creíamos que nomás nosotros estábamos allí, si estábamos rodeados de puros alemanes. ¿Quién sabe cómo se llama ese pueblito? Davendorf o Kavendorf, quién sabe. Es que vino, pues. Ya no necesitamos mucho de un hombre, no es igual. Si hubiera sido señorita, ya ustedes se tienen que cuidar con su señorita. Cuando entren a la escuela, cuando entren al colegio, cuando traigan las amistades y todo eso a la casa, it's going be cuanto menos pienses. Pero no le miras al saving, no le miras tú hasta que no juntas los primeros $1,000. Le vas mirando la recompensa. Ya, antes de eso, se te hace que nunca vas a tener un pen. Porque le sacas. Y así es, ya lo sientes. ¿Ya acabaste?
Bueno, tía, muchas gracias por
Ah,
todo.
de dispensar usted y ojalá y que todo salga. Bien, todo es verdad porque está escrito, pero sometimes my English is not as good as it should be. But I promise that my grandchildren will learn better English than I did. Bueno, bye bye.